Hello, everybody. I'm here with Adele Curran, another wonderful colleague of mine, this time from Conscious Uncoupling. A brilliant mind and a wonderful heart. She's a transformational relationship and communication coach now, and she coaches couples and individuals who are craving authentic, fulfilling relationships. She believes that everyone can develop the skills they need to have the kind of love they really deserve. Welcome, Adele.
Thank you, Heather. I'm so excited to be with you.
So tell me first off, how did you get from conscious uncoupling to doing transformational couple work?
That's a really good question. I found that what conscious uncoupling is all about at the end of the day is helping people relate better, have the kind of relationship that will sustain them no matter whether they end up breaking up or not. And so conscious uncoupling, most people come to it with the intention that they're probably going to separate or divorce. And through this method, I found that the way that we help people have a respectful breakup is through helping them have a better relationship. So I realized I could transfer those same skills into just having people, it's at the end of the day, it's a relationship, whether you're actually living together or not. So you can have a good relationship apart, or you can have a good relationship together. So I decided it, for me, it's much more inspiring to emphasize the having the kind of relationship we want. I also started working with a few couples who wanted to stay together. And I did the exact same kind of work and it worked beautifully. So I thought, we can, I can do both, really.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I found that too, that sometimes people come to do conscious uncoupling and they find when they've learned what they didn't know through this process that they want to stay together and they've got those new skills. But I think you've extended it much further than that. And I'd like you to talk to me a little bit about why couples stay stuck, because so many of the people that come to us, you particularly, I think, have had a lot of couples therapy, but it's not worked. And how is what you do different? So there's a go. That's a really big set of questions, all in one go.
A lot. I know I could talk about that alone for an hour. I don't know how long we have, but I'll try to keep it short. So yes, people often come to me after couples counseling and, by the way, individual counseling or therapy. And it's really common. In fact, I just spoke to someone yesterday for them to say, "You know what? We've been doing this. Nothing changed. I've been going to individual therapy for 2 years. I'm not any closer to figuring this stuff out." And in I had many experiences of going to couples counseling that didn't really do anything. In fact, I would often leave angrier and closer to divorce after a session than I was before the session. And so I thought, there's something wrong with this, and I wanted to figure out what it is. And so there are a few things. I mean, just sort of on a very basic level, I'm really passionate about change and how people change and what makes that change possible. So what I've realized about most, and I know all therapists and counselors do things differently, but in my experience, the vast majority of the time, we go and we talk to someone, let's say once a week, and then we don't implement any actual changes. So we might gain a lot of awareness, but there's no change being made. And so that's just like at a very basic level. And then I start thinking about, well, why aren't we making changes? Okay. So, and again, this is something I could describe forever. I'll try to keep it simple. In order for us to change, we have to change the way we're thinking, and we have to change the way we're feeling and the actions we take. And in order to change all those things, we must change our deep beliefs about ourselves. And so that's a level that we don't normally get to in talk therapy. It's a much deeper work. These beliefs are really subconscious. So that's the deep, deep, deep side of it. And then there's this other side of it that's much, I wouldn't say it's shallow, but it's more practical, which is in order to make a change, we have to do something different on a daily basis. We have to practice. It's like when you learn how to drive a car. You can't just go to what do they call those classes where you learn how to drive once or twice and once a week and just go to a classroom. You have to get behind the wheel of the car and sit there with an instructor and be guided, and you have to practice it. And so this is what I see as like a huge gap. It's if you think about for a relationship to work, you have to have certain skills, you have to do something different, you have to learn something new, and then you have to practice it. So those are the, I would say the deep beliefs that are driving our behaviors is a huge piece. And then the other piece is this daily practice, really learning new habits.
It's
And those are the
beautiful.
things I don't see happening in counseling or therapy.
No, and I think there's something, as a psychotherapist of 40 years, I dread to say, I don't feel I've been on the earth that long yet, but anyway, I can see that many of the trainings work on getting people in touch with their little self, but they get sort of identified with their little self. And the shift doesn't happen. It sort of almost can cement them in. Whereas the approach you're talking about is getting in touch with that little self, but not identifying, being separate from, learning how to look after that little self yourself, so that you're not relating to your partner as if they're a surrogate parent with all the negative patterns that you may have had in your growing up years projected onto them so that they will replicate what you had. But nor are they the idealized parent that you're hoping to get everything you didn't get from, which they can never fulfill. So there's some really important steps in the coaching practice that you do that gets to beneath that victim level, beside that victim level, above that victim level, so that you're really holding that, working out what that little one made sense of the world with, the I am alones, the I don't matters, that they then live from and relate from. And then you undo that as much as you possibly can through awareness, and then you teach new skills to be able to interact from a truly adult self, the wise human being that we are, rather than the little human being that we are. And that's where the rich relationship comes.
What you're describing, to me really highlights a big difference between therapy and coaching generally. Where therapy often will look back and, like you said, gain awareness and might, do this kind of reparenting work or whatever you want to call it, inner child work. And that's important. And it's not enough to make a change. And so coaching, I mean, you know this, Heather, better than anybody because you're trained in both. But coaching tends to be more about the future, right? So how do I go from where I am to where I want to be? And if where I want to be is having an authentic, fulfilling relationship, I need to do some different things. Okay. So beyond that, and you're right, that identification with the little child, I've talked to so many people who will say, okay, I know what my wounds are, and they might be very aware of that. And it almost like you're saying becomes this victim identity. This, okay, well, this happened to me when I was a child, and I'm getting triggered, and now he needs to avoid my trigger, and he's triggering me, and that's all that's true. And we need to learn how to lift ourselves up out of that so that we aren't really, like you said, identified with that, and so that we learn ways to do it differently, so we're not just expecting that other person to be someone that they really can't be.
Yeah, they can't do it for us, basically. And they can't always avoid our triggers.
No, and in fact, I One perspective is the more we try to avoid the triggers, the less likely you are to learn to deal with them or to, I don't know if it, I don't know what your perspective is, so it's possible to heal it, but we can, I heard this metaphor once that I really like, which is if you think about getting triggered as someone throwing salt on a wound, okay, then what we tend to do when we get triggered is we blame the person who threw the salt. But if there weren't a wound there in the first place, we wouldn't be triggered. So it's not about preventing the person from throwing the salt. It's about really looking at that, what's, underneath that wound that's causing us to be triggered and working on that.
Yes. It's our work to clean the wound and let it become scar tissue and stronger. Yeah, I get you. I get you. So if we go a little bit further, once we've done that, tell me some more about the new skills. You talk about how to do it wrong and how to do it right when we've had our chat. So tell me a bit more about
About the skills themselves.
that.
Well, there are a lot of skills I like to build in. I'm a big fan of, there's a side of me that's like really practical, and the way I work is I have actually the way I work is structured. It's based on the structure of conscious uncoupling. Okay. So my steps correlate with the steps of conscious uncoupling. But I make it longer and I build in more. So I'm a huge fan of tools and skills, and I'm building them in all along the way. So the very first skill I like to help people with is the skill around, you could call it containing their emotions, or, basically emotional literacy, right? Like learning how to and what to do in the moment when you are triggered. Because when people come in and they're struggling in their relationships, they're usually in a lot of pain. And until they have like a tool they can go to in the moment, that tends to like, be part of what creates those same arguments over and over and over again, where people get stuck in their heads, constantly thinking about something. So, and that skill I do similarly to the way we learn in conscious uncoupling. I have a few tweaks. And I also, one of the ways I do this and I help cement it, it's not just something I do one time. I do it with the client in person. I send them a recording. I have them listen to it every day and I have them do some writing along with it. And, not everyone's going to do something every day, but as much as possible, I encourage that. And then I hold them accountable for doing it. So that's the first skill. And so I'll just pause there in case.
Now that's really important. What I'm loving in that is the last piece, actually, the accountability. You teach them the skill, how to contain their feelings, how to be kind to themselves. It's that essentially how to really
Self-compassion.
listen. Yeah, self-compassion. Yeah. But then you ask them to take actions. So it's like knowing you've got a weak muscle and you need to go to physio. But how many people, when they've been injured, do the physio? But you're actually asking people every day to do these things to strengthen that muscle of self-care and self-compassion in preparation for the next steps, so that they'll start off, me with my broken wrist, strengthening my muscle, but you're actually training me to lift weights.
And build the muscle. And it's a perfect analogy. I hear that one a lot with going to the gym. And Heather, I've been someone who has gone to the gym almost every single day since I was 20 years old or something. And in my first training as a coach was as an integrative health coach. So that's really where this is coming from, is my background in helping people develop habits that stick. So self-compassion, I just look at it as, okay, well, we've got to learn a new skill. We've got to develop a new habit. And since we're not in the habit of being compassionate with ourselves, I'm like, okay, well, it's like going to the gym. You've got to practice it every day. You're building a muscle. And I have all kinds of ways of helping people with that. And, it is accountability, but I consider it what I say, it's compassionate accountability. Because look, we're starting with self-compassion, so it's not going to work if we're beating ourselves up when we don't do the thing.
No. I
Person
know you're
felt
much kinder than that.
compassionate thing, right? So it's and it's helping people when if they don't do it, helping them sort of around those obstacles because those come up every step of the way too.
Yeah, I can give you an example of that, you know, because fitness does not come easily to me. Sort of gym sort of fitness does not come easily to me. It's not been part of my identity. So I've been working with a coach on that. And what I discovered in terms of core beliefs, that it's vain to take care of yourself. It's from my family upbringing. And the other one that was really big is you're not allowed to. So trying to do those things and make the new habits brought up those sorts of beliefs and the feelings that went around them, which you can imagine and want to avoid like the plague. But it's been invaluable bringing all that out. And if those are the sorts of things we've got interfering with our relationship, they really need to come out.
I mean, Heather, you bring up such a good point, which is that whenever we aren't doing the thing that we say we want to do and we know is good for us, it's like we're self-sabotaging, I guess you could call it. There is, I would say, almost surely some of these deep underlying subconscious beliefs about ourselves. So here we go back to the deep belief, right? And so this happens a lot with my clients. If they aren't doing they're saying, okay, well, oh my gosh, I know this meditation thing is really going to help me. And by the way, they're short. It's not like a big time commitment. These recordings I'm sending are 10 minutes. But I've heard a lot of people say things like, I just can't take the time. I'm too busy. Or, you know, I've, and then underneath that, so what is that really about? Is it really that they actually don't have 10 minutes? Or is it something else? And usually there's something else, like I don't deserve it. You know, it's a waste of time. I need to be working all the time. There are all kinds of things. But I mean, really good point. If people aren't following through, that there's a good reason for that.
Yeah. So have we touched all of the points in the sort of overview of how you work? Because I know we're going to go in deeper in subsequent podcasts.
Yeah, we are. Well, you asked about the skills, and I spent a long time on the self-compassion piece. So I'll just briefly touch on the other skills that I'm talking about.
Thank you.
So, oh my gosh, there's so many. You know, I would say so. The second step in my work, which is similar to conscious uncoupling, is the. I'm actually trying to remember what I call it in my program. I have. One of these beautiful words like unleash or you know something like that, and it's actually not coming to me right now, but it's essentially helping people with self-responsibility. Okay, so shifting out of that blame and into more of looking at how might I be at least partially responsible for this. And so the way I look at it is even being able to do that is a skill. And, you know, I ask all the questions we learn in conscious uncoupling. And then, you know, because I spend more time, I'm spending a month on each of my steps, there's a lot of time to really delve into that. And there ends up being some more tools that come into play there too. And so I would say that a big skill that I am working on with people all throughout the whole course of my coaching is a skill around communication. And this isn't like something I do in one step, it's something I'm doing all along the way. And I'm trying to think of how to like concisely talk about that. What I discovered in doing my work is that in every single relationship I've ever been in myself, or I've ever come across with anyone else, our inability to communicate our feelings and our needs to another person respectfully, without blame, and how to go about getting our needs met, it's like something that, like, it's a skill that we're almost all missing.
Yes.
And without having that skill, relationships are incredibly difficult. And So for me, because there's so much that goes into it, it's not just the words we use. It's first of all, we have to actually be able to identify what we are feeling and what we need before we can communicate that with another person. And I find that for a lot of people, women and men, but particularly men, to generalize, usually don't have any clue what they're feeling and what they need. So I just start with that piece. And we spend time just on identifying it and becoming aware of it. And then we start adding in, well, how do I speak to another person? How do I make a request? How do I do this without blaming and shaming and all that stuff? And just learning, I mean, when I say just, it doesn't mean that it's simple. It's not, it's complex. If we all learn how to communicate well from this deep place of self-compassion and being able to share without blaming, like that in and of itself takes people a very long way.
Absolutely.
So, and there are a lot of other things I'm helping people with along the way, but I would say that's a really essential, huge piece of it.
And what's around the back of this for me is the sense of making a win-win, because so much of our communication from insecurity is about I've got to win, and for me to win, you have to lose. And that's just the road to hell for relationships.
Absolutely. In fact, I am now doing an intensive what do you call it, training, immersion in nonviolent communication, which is the kind of communication I work with. And just last weekend, we had a whole weekend long retreat, and we were practicing, I think what she was calling, the skill of interdependence. And so it's this idea, we even had a role play where one group of people, what we were imagining these people were neighbors, and one group had this big, beautiful tree in their backyard that was shading the whole, both yards, and the other group wanted a garden. And didn't have the garden, they had to remove the tree. So you can see the conflict. And what we had to do was break into groups and, sort of role play this whole thing. And with the end result being the two groups had to look at it from a different perspective, this perspective of how can we all get what we need? And when you start looking at it that way, that it's possible for everyone to get what they need without having to trample on each other, it was amazing what happened, And then we even talked about what would the world be like if we all approached things like this, right? Think about how that could impact not only relationships, but your community and our whole world. If we're all looking at it from that perspective, it would make things very different.
Revolutionary, actually, on the
Very much so.
Well, thank you so much for today. So
Yeah.
tell me where people can contact you and where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, my website, I can't talk. My website and my Instagram are very simple. They're both just my name. It's Adele, Adele, like the singer. Last name Curran, Currin. That's my Instagram handle at Adele Curran, and my website is adelecurran.com.
That's wonderful. And they can contact you through either of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much. And watch out, people, for the subsequent ones.
Thank you, Heather.
We'll go into much greater depth. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.